Set free my heart, set free my soul. I don't wanna be a prisoner no more.
Welcome to the Refuge Huntington Beach Men's Breakfast. Today we are blessed to have guest speaker Pastor Mark Carlson. Mark is going to give two messages. The first is a story and testimony about his son Mark, titled, To Be Like Mark. The second is a very timely message from 2 Chronicles 26 entitled, Don't Do That. Now let's listen as Pastor Mark shares his heart to all who have ears to hear.
There are two verses I want to read to you before Mark comes to share the word this morning. There's a lot of you guys here. I don't think we had this many ever before. I think we might have initially sold more tickets, but I don't know that this might be a new Central Park record right here. Yeah. But, no matter what Mark shares with you this morning, it's in some sense a testimony of the grace of God, the goodness of God, the truth of God, the faithfulness of God. Amen?
Amen.
I think that's what all the better messages are anyway. They direct us to him, whether it kind of passes through our life and the story of our life or not. But there was this one verse that was on my heart where the songwriter, and I wanted to look up who it was because I'm always assuming it's David, it's only 50% that it could be David because he wrote only about half of those in the Bible. But it isn't David. It's a contemplation from Ethan, the Ezrahite. Is Ethan anybody's favorite person in the Bible? You ever heard of Ethan before? How many of you knew that there was an Ethan in the Bible? Well, there's Ethan the Ezrahite, and he comes to this conclusion at some point in his life, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever, and with my mouth will I make known your faithfulness to all generations, for I have said mercy shall be built up forever, your faithfulness you shall establish in the heavens. There's that one, and then there's this one. And this one's anonymous, so this one could have been you. You might have written this one. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the people. Sing to him. Sing psalms to him. Talk of his wondrous works. Glory in his name. Let the hearts of those rejoice who seek the Lord. Seek his face forevermore. And everybody's testimony is basically, our story maybe wrapped around his story or his story wrapped around our story. It's something of the great faithfulness of God and the goodness of God. Our testimonies are stories about where we've been, what we've done, and what's been done to us, and what we've done to others, and what we've done to ourselves, and somehow through the middle of all that, how in the world does God get glory? But he does. He's never had anything more than imperfect people to work with. Are there any of those here today? That's all he's ever had to work with. Whether they are pastors like me or like Mark and others. And I just love to hear stories of redemption. I love to hear truth from people that have walked and lived long enough to have gotten up a few times. And I love to hear stories of recovery and stories of redemption and stories of the faithfulness of God in restoring men and women to him, because I still need those stories. I don't just need them as preaching material. I need them as personal material. I need them so I can keep getting up and keep moving on. And how many of you know Mark Carlson? Hang on a second. Let me hold those hands up. Hold those hands. How many of you know Mark Carlson? Mark, your hand's not up. Okay, got it there. Okay. I'm going to mail this into Costa Mesa, show them how many people got saved today in the altar call. So you guys already know Mark Carlson, so welcome Mark as he comes to share.
Please don't send that to Costa Mesa or any other church in this area.
The reason that there's so many different guys here today is that from so many different churches, I've been kicked out of quite a few of them. Most of them. I got two stories or two messages this morning. One of them is a love story. I think you'll like it. One of them is a sob story. Not so much. I want to share a little bit about my son, Mark. Alan said that I could do that. And I've always had a heart for the developmentally disabled. And I think that that's pretty evident today by you guys coming here to listen to me. One time I went to Maryland and started a church there, Calvary Chapel. And I couldn't find a facility, so there was a mental unit there. And so they let us use the mental unit and their gymnasium. And I think I was pastor then. I'm not really sure. I may have been part of the whole thing, but I may be imagining it this morning. We were there for a couple of years. Rent was free. And I'll never forget one Sunday morning, a fellow named David Fox came to me. And he said, "Pastor Mark, Jesus told me to sing a song." And I thought, gosh, David, of all days, you know, we've got kids coming up to share their songs and a lot of people, just Christmas people here today. And I don't know, David. He says, "Well, it's up to you. Jesus told me to go ahead and sing it." So David stood up and he cleared his throat and he let us know how much each and every one of us were going to enjoy that song, because Jesus had given it to him, especially for Christmas. And I was worried really bad. And David started to Frosty the Snowman. And I thought, Brian, I thought, what have I done? People would come into church and they'd look over to somebody and it scared them pretty bad. That was just me, the pastor, but they weren't used. We have to go and collect everybody and bring them in. That's part of the deal, is to bring all of the clients in. And it was a wonderful experience. I want to talk to you a little bit about Mark. I want to brag a little bit about Mark. Amen. He's so special to me. I shared at the breakfast or the luncheon on Thursday, I think, where the homeless are here. And so Alan said, "Why don't you share a little bit of that?" And Richard said I could share a little bit of that. And I think I will. Now, if I can just get through this, because Marky is my best friend. And I'll start. Linda and I have 5 kids. The Bible describes that as a quiverful. Now, it makes you quiver thinking that you got 5 kids. Marky was the last of our 5 kids to be born, and he'll probably be with us forever and ever. The rest of the kids have all grown up and moved away and had kids. Marky's always there. In fact, he's been with us so long, 28 years, that I figured that we've changed about 53,000 diapers. My wife is so good at it, she can change them in the dark. I prefer as much light as possible when I do it. But you know what? He's been with us for almost half of our lives. And I'll tell you what, I would never trade a day for having Mark. I wouldn't have him any other way. Some people who can't, they just can't figure that out. But I love Mark just the way that he is, and I would never expect him to be any other way. Those of you that have known me and heard me share about Mark before have heard the story about when he was born in Northern California. He had a lot of problems. He was 2 weeks late, born breech. My wife had to have a C-section. Man, it was a trial. When I was in that room and Mark was born, he was battleship gray. had a couple of holes in his heart, and that hospital was not ready at all. A little town up in Auburn is what it's called. It's probably grown a lot since then, but when Mark was born, they came out and said, Mr. Carlson, we've got a lot of problems. When I was in the waiting room, nurses were coming up and whispering to each other and to the doctor, and I just panicked. Couldn't believe it. I looked at Mark. All my other kids were born in, quote, quote, normal. Some of them would debate that. But Mark's born, and I'm thinking to myself, oh, Lord, what's going to happen? And Linda didn't even know that what Mark looked like. The doctor pulled me out in the hallway and said, Mr. Carlson, we've got some problems here. And I says, yeah, I know. He says, let me just describe to you some things that are going on. He says, I don't know how many of you can see Mark, but he's a peach. He's a good-looking boy. My wife coiffed him and cleaned him this morning. I'm sorry, I forgot. I was talking to a men's group. Coiffed means she fixed his hair. He comes out in the hallway and he says, we've got problems. He says, Mark was born with pretty good size ears and they're real low. And his one eye's kind of shut and he can't see too much out of the other one. His forehead's kind of long and he's got a webbed neck and his shoulders go. He mentioned about 8 things. And just as he was closing out, a nurse came up to me and said, Mr. Carlson, I just saw your little boy. He looks just like you. And he does. Mark wasn't supposed to live 3 hours. Holes in his heart. He wasn't supposed to live 3 days, 3 weeks, 3 years. He's going to be 28 in February. Amen. When they sent Mark home, they actually pulled Linda and I aside and said, you guys can take him home, but give him the old college try. And I thought, oh my goodness, we're just going to give him as much love, and I think that's going to keep him around for a while. The Lord gave us a verse out of Psalm 139, verse 14, that says that Marky was fearfully and wonderfully made, and he really has proven to be just that. My relationship with Mark opens my eyes to what I think every Christian should be. My relationship with him is kind of like God's relationship with me. When I think about Mark, I think that he miraculously trusts me. I'm his dad. He loves unconditionally. By the way, Psalms 31 says that we're to speak for those who cannot speak for themselves. I think Mark would agree with what I'm sharing with you this morning. He loves unconditionally, no strings attached. How many Christians should love unconditionally with no strings attached? He is a witnessing machine. I take him to the grocery store or wherever we go, and people come up and ask, what's going on? Kids come right up to him and says, what happened to him? And I'm able to share the gospel with them. And I'm able to share how much God loves him and how much God loves us. He's just so wonderful to take with and have people come up and talk. Interesting, Mark doesn't look like everybody else. He stands out in a crowd. There's something very special about him. He's not like everybody else. He's honorable, if that makes any sense at all. He's so honorable because what you see with Mark is what you get. And he forgives and he forgets. I can turn the TV off. He's watching Ultimate Fighting or Toy Story or the Raiders. I can turn the TV off. We're getting ready to go. He forgives me. It's almost like he says, it's okay, Dad, I know. I'm not going to, you know, want to do it, but I'll go ahead and do it. He never holds a grudge. It's almost like Mark says, hey, Dad, let's just be friends. all over again. Pretty good lesson for all of us. He wakes up every morning with anticipation for the day. He doesn't dread it. He doesn't say, oh, I got to do this and I got to do that. He looks forward to every day. He's so innocent. It blows my mind. He's so pure. I wish that I could be that pure again. I wish that I could be so innocent again. Remember a story that Chuck Swindoll taught. He says that he and his family were on vacation, and they were driving down the highway, and they got to a dirt road, and it said, fresh fruit and vegetables. He said, well, this would be a good thing to do. We'll go get some fresh fruit, honey and berries, and everything's natural, including the people. It was a nudist camp. So he's got his kids in the back seat, and he's getting pretty nervous. And wouldn't you know, down the dirt road comes two natural people. Chuck panics. He looks at the back seat and he says, oh, Lord, how am I going to explain this? And finally, his boys, as the bikes went by, said to him, Dad, did you see that? And he says, what am I going to say? Boys, what's going on? They say, Dad, those guys didn't have any helmets on. Oh, to be so innocent. Mark, I don't know if you've seen Mark on Sundays or Wednesdays. He can't wait to get out of that car. He gets a little bit miffed when the doors are shut because he can't get into the sanctuary. So I think that he should have a special pass. He does not want to wait. Now, he doesn't act that way when he goes to Kohl's or Walmart. But when he comes here, he anticipates worship. He sits way up front, right by Bill and the musicians, and he listens so close. He watches the guitars and the piano, and he just would love to get up there. Maybe one day when the church is closed, I'll just bring him up there and let him play a little bit of guitar. When he gets out of that car, he can't get out of his seatbelt fast enough. Chuck Smith was sharing on a tape the other day that really blessed me. He was talking about Friday nights in Jerusalem. How at one point you'll see a bunch of young people coming down to the Wailing Wall and they're singing and they're carrying banners and flags and flowers. Chuck says, it's such a blessing to see those guys come down. He says, I wish that I could initiate that and work that into my own fellowship. That's Mark. He's everything that a Christian should be. That's what we should be like as well. Not waiting to get out of those cars and getting in here and worshiping the Lord and lifting up his name. I take Mark swimming every once in a while for therapy. And he loves it. But you know, he doesn't get into the pool right away until he sees me down at the bottom with either his inner tube or my arms stretched out. He is so deliberate about every step. He takes his time. He knows that when he's got a hold of me, even if I take him to the deep end, he's going to be just fine because he has no fear because his dad's got a hold of him. He trusts his dad. Mark prays. This is the part that I was hoping that I could get through. When I go in to pray with Mark every night, he prays, but Mark associates the crucifixion, I think, with his prayer. This is how Mark prays. Blesses me. Absolutely blesses me. You know, I've never seen Mark angry. Now, Bill and Todd may disagree with me. They came to pray with Linda and I when one night there was no seats left, so Bill and Todd got on their knees, and Linda and I were just blessed to have our pastor and one in leadership praying for us. How wonderful is this? And we were praying, at least Linda and I were praying. Todd got kicked in the chest by Mark, and Bill had his hair about pulled out. That's when he had a little bit more of a fro. Mark was doing it at the same time, kicking and pulling, and Linda and I are just praying, you know, oh, Lord, bless this time. I noticed Bill got walking up on the stage. He won't come and kiss Marky anymore, but he doesn't get angry. He was just being intimate with his fellowship with those guys. I've never gotten angry at Mark. That's a miracle. Never gotten angry at Mark. I have never resented Mark, not one day. Like I said, wouldn't have him any other way. He's just perfect to me. One day, and I think that the Lord really shared this with me, one day Mark's going to have a new body, just like all of us. It's going to be conformed and transformed, transformed and conformed. And I imagine Mark playing baseball and soccer and all those things that Mark would love to do, watching football, ultimate fighting. He would just love to be in there. One day, I don't think he'll be ultimate fighting in heaven, but maybe. God's going to give him a brand new body. You ever read about Mephibosheth? You say, yeah, right. Mephibosheth was Jonathan's son. When Jonathan died, David called one of his servants and said, hey, I'm paraphrasing this quite a bit. Is there anybody in the kingdom that is Jonathan's family that I can just shower them with blessings? And the servant said, yeah, there's one guy, but he's crippled. He fell down with his nurse when he was 5 years old and he can't walk. David said, bring him into me. And he brought him, and David, King David, said to Mephibosheth, Mephibosheth, you're going to sit at my table for the rest of your life. You know why that ministers to me? Because when you sit at the table, you don't see that you're crippled, see? There's some crippled guys here this morning. There's some special needs guys here this morning. When you sit at the king's table, nobody knows that you're special needs. Nobody knows that you're crippled. And if there's not a crippled guy here this morning, I want to meet you because we all have need of the Lord. I guess I want to encourage you. I've got two messages and I'm almost done with this one. I want to encourage you to be like Mark. I really do. He's a wonderful witness. And you know what? I want you to go ahead and get in the pool. Be deliberate. Make every step count, but just get in the pool. King David said to Mephibosheth, he said, Mephibosheth, not only are you going to sit at the table for the rest of your life, you're going to be part of the family. You're not going to be a stranger anymore. You can not fear. In fact, I'm going to show you godly kindness. But you know, Mephibosheth, if you come and sit at my table, you're going to be part of the royal family. I pray that you guys are part of the royal family this morning. And watch Mark. Watch Mark. And maybe we could all be more like him. That was the love story. Here's the sob story. I want to talk about pride a little bit. I know that's very unique for a men's fellowship. Who would have ever thought? It'd be like giving a message on love your wives like Christ loved the church, and you'd look at somebody and say, who told him? Pride. I've realized over the number of years that I've been walking with the Lord, he's opened up my eyes and he's shown me that every sin in my life is attached to pride. Pride is like the main root, and everything can be traced back to that. I found out that there's two types of pride, an outward pride and an inward pride. For sake of time this morning, we'll call it an outie and an innie. Don't look at yourself. Don't look at yourself. We've got outies and innies here this morning. Outward pride, pretty obvious. It's conceited. It's boastful. It's arrogant. Unbelievable. It's sort of like the guy that said, I'm so glad I'm not like other guys. That's pride. That's an outie. Another outie, especially somebody described it for the church, is the guy that sits in the pew, and maybe the pastor will thank somebody, praise somebody, really bless somebody and mention his name. And wouldn't you know, the guy that's sitting in the pew, like me, is saying, why is he getting the praise? Why is he getting thanked? That should be for me. I work harder. I pray more. I'm here every Wednesday and Sunday and every time the door. He should be praising me. That's dangerous. It's also referred to as false humility. Somebody called it narcissism hidden. Tough stuff. In my estimation, inward pride is worse than outward pride because it's deceptive. Someone described it as just a hidden sin. C.S. Lewis said, the thing about humility is that it's easy to get proud for being humble. Remember hearing a story about a guy that they had a contest at church, and they wanted to know who the most humble person was in the church. And they voted, and they figured out that one of the guys in the church was the most humble, and they gave him a badge. And the first time he wore it, they took it away from him. Turn with me, if you would, to 2 Chronicles chapter 26. Boy, we're going to burn through this chapter. Read with me. It says, now all the people of Judah took Uzziah, who was 16 years old, and made him king instead of his father Amaziah. He built Elath and restored it to Judah after the king rested with his fathers. Uzziah was 16 years old when he became king, and he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jechaliah of Jerusalem, and he did right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Amaziah had done. He sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God, or the fear of the Lord. And as long as, if you underline in your Bibles, hit those three words, and as long as he sought the Lord, God made him prosper. Now he went out and made war against the Philistines and broke down the wall of Gath, the wall of Jabna, and the wall of Ashdod, and he built cities around Ashdod and among the Philistines. God helped him, verse 7 says, against the Philistines, against the Arabians who lived in Gur Baal, and against the Meunites. Also the Ammonites brought tribute to Uzziah. His fame spread as far as the entrance of Egypt, for he became exceedingly strong. And Uzziah built towers in Jerusalem at the corner gate, at the valley gate, and at the corner buttress of the wall, when he fortified them. Also, he built towers in the desert. He dug many wells, for he had much livestock, both in the lowlands and in the plains. He also had farmers and vine dressers in the mountains and in Carmel, for he loved the soil. Moreover, Uzziah had an army of fighting men, who went out to war by companies according to the number on their roll, as prepared by Jael, the scribe, and Manasseh, how you ever say that, the officer, under the hand of Hananiah, one of the king's captains. The total number of chief officers of the mighty men of valor was 2,600, and under their authority was an army of 307,500 that made war with mighty power to help the king against the enemy. Then Uzziah prepared for them, for the entire army, shields, spears, helmets, body armor, bows, slings, and cast stones. And he made devices, I imagine this to be catapults, in Jerusalem, invented by skillful men, to be on the towers and the cornerstones. So his fame spread far and wide, for he was marvelously helped until he became strong. But, verse 16 says, when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his own destruction, for he transgressed against the Lord his God by entering the temple of the Lord to burn incense on the altar of incense. So Azariah the priest went in after him, and with him were 80 priests of the Lord, valiant men. And they withstood King Uzziah and said to him, "It is not for you, Uzziah, to burn incense to the Lord, but for the priests, the sons of Aaron, who were consecrated to burn incense. Get out of the sanctuary, for you have trespassed. You shall have no honor from the Lord God." Then Uzziah became furious, and he had a censer in his hand to burn incense. And while he was, angry with the priests, leprosy broke out on his forehead before the priests in the house of the Lord besides the incense altar. And Azariah, the chief priest, and all the priests looked at him. And there on his forehead, he was leprous. So they thrust him out of that place. Indeed, he also hurried to get out because the Lord had struck him. King Uzziah was a leper until the day of his death. He dwelt in an isolated house because he was a leper, for he was cut off from the house of the Lord. Then Jotham, his son, was over the king's house, judging the people of the land. Now the rest of the acts of Uzziah, from the first to the last, the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amoz, wrote. So Uzziah rested with his fathers, and they buried him with his fathers in the field of the burial, which belonged to the kings. For they said, "He's a leper." Then Jotham, his son, reigned in his place. Interesting portion of scripture, to say the least. His dad was named Amaziah. Back in chapter 25, verse 2, it said that he did right in the sight of the Lord, but not with a loyal heart. Well, Uzziah took after his dad because we're told that he did right in the sight of the Lord just like his dad. Didn't have a loyal heart. We could say this morning that he didn't serve the Lord with his whole heart. One interpretation says that as long as Zechariah lived and as long as God prospered him, he sought God. Uzziah was a hypocrite. A hypocrite was somebody that was hired by a drama team that they couldn't afford to hire a bunch of actors, so they just hired one guy to play all the parts. He would be playing one part like this with a stick on the mask, but when it came time to play another part, he would turn around, grab his mask, and hold it up and play an altogether different person. Uzziah was a hypocrite. Uzziah, I guess I could say it this way, never bent both knees unto the Lord. Hosea chapter 7, verse 8 describes that kind of a Christian, that kind of a man, as a half-baked cake. Can't think about how yucky that must sound. A half-baked cake. A half-baked cake is nothing more than a backslider. You say, "Oh no, not the B word." Backslider, Mark? Come on. Proverbs 14:14 says that the backslider is filled with all of his own ways. You see, when we're so prideful, whether it's innie or outie, we got no choice. We're filled with all of our own ways. I didn't know my dad that well, but I knew this much when I was even a little kid, that he loved himself so much that he didn't have love for anybody else. What an indictment against a dad, that he would love himself so much, never to have room for his other kids or kids alone. Don't do that. That's maybe the name of the message this morning. Don't do that. In verses 6 through 10, we read that this backslidden, this half-baked, this carnal, this lukewarm man. And you say, "Well, wait a minute, Mark. We read the whole text. God blessed him. Why did God bless him if he was so lukewarm?" And why did he become exceedingly strong if he wasn't serving the Lord with a whole heart? I want you to look at his accomplishments. In verse 10, he's just like us. He was an engineer. He was a general contractor. He was a well digger. He was a rancher. He was a farmer. I used to be a farmer outstanding in my field. No, I'm just kidding. I used to be a frog farmer, but they all croaked. He grew things. He was an administrator. He was an inventor. He was a mighty military leader. He was a mighty military leader, a military wizard, if you would. And like the verses says, he was marvelously helped. I want to encourage you this morning to never forget that it's God's nature to bless us and make us strong. He even brags on us. But the Bible does say to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Can we talk? Our strength, our fame, our accomplishments don't always mean God's approval. God blesses us. God loves us in spite of us. Verse 15 talks about how he was marvelously helped until he became strong. Something happened to Uzziah. Somebody wrote that he believed his own press reports. Don't do that. Verse 16, paraphrase, says, everything seemed to go his way until his strength and success went to his head, and he walked around acting like he owned the place. That's outward pride. It can catch up to us. His backslidden heart, his failure to trust in the Lord, his arrogance, his pride caught up with him. Bill was talking about sharing a testimony. There is a time and there is a place that God will just say, enough. Don't do that. We all know Proverbs 16:18 says, pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. Daniel chapter 4, verse 37 says, those who walk in pride, he is able to put down. He was talking about Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar had a dream. His friend Daniel came to him and said, you know what, Nebuchadnezzar, if you don't humble yourself, if you continue in this pride, God showed me what's going to happen. You're going to go crazy for 7 years. You're going to be insane. By the way, being backslidden, being carnal, being lukewarm, being half-hearted, being a half-baked cake, you've got to be insane with all the things that the Lord offers us and all the things that God can give to us. Why would we not be wholehearted? Why would we not be like Mark and wanting to beat those doors down just to get in to bow before him and to worship him? Nebuchadnezzar did go crazy for 7 years. He was out eating grass with the cows. He was so crazy. I know Nebuchadnezzar. He's a friend of mine. But you know what? The Lord will give you room to repent, but don't wait too long. You know, I've got in my Bible a bunch of initials that say T and P. I'll tell you what that means in a minute. I'll tell you right now. There was a young man that had a grandma that loved the Lord so much. She prayed. She read the Word. She was a saint. When she died, he inherited her Bible. And he said to himself, I'm going to read this Bible from cover to cover. And he did. But he kept seeing these verses that just jumped out at him. In fact, they just, man, that's me. But he saw the initials T and P next to him. And he says, that's not my grandma's initials. That's not my initials. What is going on here? And he read the final book of the Revelation and got to the bottom of it and looked at the page below. And in italics, the initials T and P meant tried and proved. Most of the T and P's that I have marked in my Bible, T and P, they're not really the most encouraging verses that there are. One of my most famous and most loving T&Ps is found in Luke chapter 20, verse 18, where the Lord says, Mark, you can insert your name if you like, but this is mine. Fall on the rock and you'll be broken, or the rock will fall on you and you'll be crushed to powder. Man, how true that's been in my life. You see, Uzziah crossed the line. Some of us in our pride can cross the line. Uzziah was discontent with just being king, with just the calling in his life. Wonderful calling. He became discontent and he wanted to be priest. It was never enough for Uzziah, never enough for us. You see, our flesh is never satisfied when we seek after fleshly things. The only thing that can satisfy us is the Lord Jesus. Amen. Uzziah was warned. I think he was warned by the Lord. I think he had Zechariah there. He was probably warned by Zechariah. He was probably warned by the Holy Spirit. When I say warned, I can remember one time working on my car, had the hood up. I'm working on it. And a brother pulls up and he parks in my driveway. And he comes over and he leans his head under the hood with me. And he says, Mark, I'm really nervous, but I think that the Lord had me come over and share with you. He says, I've seen some things in your life that, Mark, they're not consistent with your claim to be born again, and especially being in the ministry. He says, you know, my wife overheard your talking to your wife the other day, and it wasn't good, Mark. It really stumbled her. And Mark, I've seen some things in your life that they're just inconsistent. What's going on with you? And of course, like Amaziah and Uzziah, I said, oh, thank you very much. I love you. No. I became angry. I became frustrated. In fact, I've got a barometer in my life that whenever I'm frustrated or angry or discontent or depressed, it's because I'm not walking with the Lord with a whole heart. One of the first signs for me, I don't know what yours are. But you know what? There's brothers that come to you and they warn you in a loving way. Mark, don't do that. Billy Bob, don't do that. And they mean well. How many times we don't listen, we should do well to take heed to what our brothers are telling us, especially about our pride, and we should listen to every word, but oftentimes we don't. I didn't. Uzziah didn't. Look at verses 17 and 18. How many guys came to Uzziah to warn him that day, don't do that? 81. I've had about 81 come to me and warn me in a loving way, encouraging me, exhorting me. Exhort means to encourage somebody, but let them know at the same time they're messing up. Oh, how I should have listened. How I should have fallen on the rock, but I waited for the rock to fall upon me. He became furious, the Bible says, and he suffered the consequences. He should have probably read Revelation chapter 2, where Jesus was speaking to his darling church, and he said to them, he said, you're backslidden. You're prideful. You've fallen away. You're not serving the Lord with a whole heart. You're arrogant. He says, you need to remember from where you fell. He says, you need to repent. And you need to repeat those first things all over again. You can't repeat something if you hadn't experienced it to begin with. You say, well, Uzziah didn't have Revelation chapter 2. We do. Remember from where thou art fallen, repent, and do your first works all over again. Oh, how I wished that I had done that. Oh, how I pray that you guys, hearing this message this morning, sob story, please don't continue where you're at. Don't continue in a walk with the Lord that's half-baked. You know, I used to get in a fight with my wife before I would, not just church, but church, maybe even those that I pastored. And we'd be fighting all the way there. And as soon as we pulled up in the parking lot, we would put on that face, that mask, and we'd meet the elders at the door, or the pastor or whatever, and people say, "How you guys doing?" "Oh, just wonderful. God blessed us so much." What a hypocrite I was. And it was because of my pride. Pretty sad. I don't have a lot of time left, so real quick. I've always loved to, or wished that I could close a message with, if God's touched your heart today, I want you to bow your heads, and nobody's looking around, and I don't want to embarrass you, but I want you to raise your hand. I always wanted to do that. I always wanted to say, "I see that hand in the back, over on the side, up here up front. Praise the Lord," but I've never had the guts to do it. Maybe I don't have the gift of evangelism, but you know what? I think that the Lord would have us say, "I see that mask in the back. I see it on the side. Praise the Lord, brother." Because He sees us, see? Inward pride, outward pride. He wants to, for lack of a better term, bust us this morning because He loves us so much. Bill's been talking about on Wednesday nights that if you're 60, 61, 62, I'm quite a bit younger than him, but if you're that old, you may not have a lot of years left. What are you doing? You maybe only have 15, 20 years left. What do you want to do? Interesting little thing in closing here. You might recognize the name Uzziah from Isaiah. Chapter 6, verse 1. Isaiah said, "The year that Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up, sitting upon His throne, and His train of His robe filled the temple." Glorious celebration. Amos and Zechariah tells us that during Uzziah's reign, there was an earthquake. I looked up in ancient history, there was in fact an earthquake. Killed tens of thousands of people. We've got to think about our legacy. We got to think about what our headstone's going to read one day. Is your headstone going to read a celebration? "I saw the Lord, He was high and lifted up, and that brother was an incredible example of Jesus." Or are you going to be like that earthquake, left with nothing but shambles? I knew a guy, gosh, it had to be in the early 70s, went to Calvary Costa Mesa. I think it was Tom Stipe giving the message. And he spoke on John chapter 5 where Jesus got in Peter's boat. And when this brother heard that, he just had to walk forward. And yet he couldn't wait until he had the invitation. Raise that hand in the back. I knew this guy. He got up and ran to the altar. He accepted Christ. He was on fire. He looked around and saw everybody that was there, and they all had light in their eyes. He was so used to seeing death in people. These people had something special, and he said he was not going to leave that night without it. He was driving home in a Volkswagen van, and everybody else went in for Coco's coffee and pie and cake, and he sat in that van by himself, and like a screen on the side of that van, he watched his entire life pass by. He saw all the people that he'd hurt and all the people that he ripped off, and he repented. He went home. He told me he went home, and he took all of his drugs, walked out on the end of the Seal Beach Pier, and threw them off. Now, at the time, I wish that I would have been there scuba diving. Threw him out. He started a Bible study. God blessed him. He loved the Word. He would read, he would read, he would read. He would pray. He'd have his Bible next to his bed in the morning, in the evening. He couldn't wait to walk out on that Seal Beach Pier and witness. He was on fire for the Lord. God blessed him. Gave him a ministry. It was wonderful what God was doing in his life. But like Uzziah, I heard that something happened in his life, and he started believing his own press reports. And you know what? He fell. He felt really bad. And you know what? He disappointed a lot of people. He hurt his family so deep, he almost lost his family. His friends, who he adored, kind of didn't come around no more because he had isolated himself like Uzziah. The thing that bothers me most about reading about Uzziah is that when he got leprosy, it says that the priest looked at him. You say, well, what's the big deal about that? You see, when you're backslidden, when you're in pride and you're not living a wholehearted life for the Lord, you make a spectacle of yourself. This one brother made a spectacle of himself. He hurt people. He destroyed some people. There he was, lost everything, close to losing his family and his kids. His kids kind of gave up on him. But you know what? The last that I heard about him was that he was doing so good. He found a church that let him come in, and he was restored to all of his brothers. It was just absolutely wonderful. Instead of running and isolating himself, I hear that he was happy to see everybody and unashamed because of what the Lord... He was like, I guess he described it as, I feel like I'm born again, again. They even let him do a Bible study at that church. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it. I feel like a little schoolgirl up here. I'm so nervous. I've done this a long time, but this is the first time I've done this in a long time. And when people say to you, I'm honored and privileged to be here today, Lord's my witness, I am honored and I consider it a privilege. I didn't always take that privilege the way that it should be. I don't even know why. Most of you guys don't know me. But publicly, I want to say, please forgive me. Please forgive me. I made a spectacle of myself, but the Lord's restored me. He's given me back my family. My kids love me. My grandkids come up and hug me. And it's all because of Jesus. And it's all because he showed me my insidious pride. A lot of other stuff came out of that, but it was my stinking pride. And so if you're here this morning, I see that mask. More important, the Lord sees that mask. Get rid of it. And when you decide to get rid of that pride, it opens a floodgate of blessings that the Lord changes you and molds you and, you know, does those things that, you know what? Being a Christian, walking with the Lord with your whole heart is everything that you ever wanted to be, but you couldn't do it on your own. Do it with the Lord. Maybe you're here this morning and this will somewhat relate to you. Only you and God know whether you're wearing that mask or not. Father in heaven, I thank you for, again, the opportunity to share with men that I love, Lord. I pray, God, that you would touch our hearts. And as men, I pray, Lord, that we could step aside. Lord, it just seems like we're so selfish and self-involved. And God, I pray for those who maybe haven't bent both knees too, Lord, that are serving you with maybe half a heart. I pray, Lord, that you would change us. Father, I have the most difficult time surrendering. I hear that all the time, Lord. I be honest with you, Lord, I can't surrender too well, but I know that you'll take away things if I offer them to you. Lord, I offer you my pride, my arrogance, my innie and my outie. Please help me, Lord Jesus. Please help me. And I pray, Lord, that I could commit my whole heart to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Mark. I don't know where in that story you kind of got the idea where he was going. I was well into it before I realized he's telling his own story. And I'll never forget that. I'll never forget that, even that image of I see that mask. And I the idea that the Lord looks out and he sees our fears and he sees our hearts and he sees the prisons that we're in and he's ready today, like Mark said, to set you free. There's no good reason to live another day behind that mask or another half an hour behind that mask. And now's the time to respond to Jesus and say, Lord, rip this stinking thing off of me. Rip this phoniness away from me, Father, and make me what you want me to be. There's no room to do a come forward altar call up here, but there's an altar right where you are, a place of surrender. And you can say today, I'm not taking another step like that. I'm dropping it here and give it up to God. Mark, thanks for being honest and thanks for sharing your heart. Thanks for your love for your boy, his love for you. I'm sure he's one that never gave up on you through all that time. We love you, Marky. Love you, buddy. He got a hold of my hair so tight that day. And why don't you guys go ahead and stand up if you can. And before you leave, if God's stirred something in your heart, turn to the brother that you came with and say, hey, pray with me. I'm giving this up today. And lay it down before you go.
Set free my heart. Set free my soul. I don't wanna be a prisoner no more.
You've just heard a message by Pastor Mark Carlson given at Refuge Calvary Chapel, Huntington Beach. For more information about this ministry, please go to www.refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495. Thanks for listening, and we pray you've been encouraged and hope to see or hear from you soon.
This is the day that I